peace and blessings. I hope you and your loved ones are well and safe. Much love to you all. I am reading yet again for the, I've lost count how many times I've read this book, but Ram Dass and Mirabai Bush's book, Walking Each Other Home, Conversations on Loving and Dying. Each page is gold, but I thought it might be helpful for me to read a particular couple of pages and a meditation practice and for us to put it into practice. So this page is page 56, The Ego, Somebody Training. There is no inherent self. We are boundless. The ego is a structure of mind that organizes the universe, particularly around the relationship to separateness. It is in the domain of separateness. It is in the steering mechanism for you as a separate entity, surviving and functioning within the universe, within this world, on this plane. Then there's the other part of you that merges, that balances and flows and gives away everything and doesn't care, like the lilies in the field or the unconditional lover. And there's a tension between these two. What happened to me as a soul was that I took birth into a good family and they socialized me really well. They installed the software into my computer for the space suit I was wearing in this incarnation, which is called the ego. I developed a model of who I am, who you are, and how to function so that I could survive on this plane. The predicament was that along the way, I forgot I was a soul who had taken birth. I began to think that I was the computer program. For 30 years, I forgot who I was. I was busy being who I thought I was, who everybody had trained me to be. They trained me to be somebody, and the minute I got my somebodyness, quote-unquote, down, I went into, quote-unquote, somebody special training. I became somebody special, just like you did. You began to take yourself, quote-unquote, seriously. You think you are real. That's the predicament most of us are stuck in most of the time. It was Tim Leary, really, who began the change for me. He wanted me, as somebody he loved, to experience the psilocybin mushroom as he had, and I saw that I had another place to stand inside myself, from which I saw the game of Richard Alpertness. It was a beautiful game, but it wasn't who I was. I realized that who I was, who you are, is far more interesting than the game we're playing. I was a soul, but I was still attached to my familiar way of being, and I kept falling back into the ego-centered view instead of a soul-centered view of reality. But as the Russian philosopher G.I., how do you say that, Gurdjieff? Yeah. Said, if you wish to escape from prison, the first thing you must realize is that you are in prison. If you think you are free, no escape is possible. End of quote. I knew I wasn't free. I had seen everything from a different perspective. So I worked on getting a soul view, and that is what led me to Maharaji. Now, when you develop the ego, this central computer necessary for running the game, the problem is not the ego itself, but how identified we are with it, as I was. In spiritual evolution, you don't destroy the ego. Rather, you stop identifying with it. You see it as a functional unit. You need it to be functional so that, for example, when I'm talking to you, I realize there is a you and a me, and we're talking on this plane. At the same time, if I am in touch with my soul, I know that I am also just talking to myself. The ego is a lousy master, but a wonderful servant. The art is to convert that master into a servant. Ramakrishna talked about a horse-drawn carriage with a coachman sitting on top. The horses are desires, and the coachman is the ego. The coachman thinks he's handling the whole thing, but the man inside the carriage, the awakening higher self, taps on the glass and says, quote unquote, "Turn left here." And the coachman says, quote unquote, "Who are you to tell me? What are you doing in there?" Higher self says, "I own the carriage and you are my servant." And the ego says, "The hell you are. Like I'm running this show. You need me to survive." It's not easy to train the ego. The ego is not built on love. It's built on the fear of not surviving. And if that's who you think you are, then you're fearful all the time. And because you're fearful, you overcompensate and make decisions that further separate you from others and yourself. The Sufis say, quote, "You must live before you can die, but you must die before you can live." End of quote. The dying that opens us to life is the letting go of our attachment to our desires and to the fruits of our actions. Living life as it is, not as we want it to be. Learning to simply be with what Aldous Huxley called, quote, "the miracle of naked existence," end of quote. Not trying to control what we can't control. Whew, it's a big one. A lot of teachings in there that I want us to chew on. If you're interested in reading the book and you haven't yet, Walking Each Other Home by Ram Dass and Mirabai Bush. And that was page 57, 56, 57, and 58. And then I think a practice that will really feed that I want us to dive into a bit more is a short practice. At the end of the book, there's some really good practices that helps us put the teachings into life. This is a short practice for dealing with fear, which is really helpful for now. Bring to mind what you are afraid of. Notice the sensations in your body and then make tight fists with your hands. Make tight fists with your hands as you really get honest with what you're afraid of. Feeling the fear in your hands, arms, and torso. So you momentarily get tight. You really feel the contraction of the fear. Hold this for a few minutes. Then breathe a full, deep in-breath, filling your body. On the out-breath, slowly uncurl your fingers with your palms facing up. Relax, continue to breathe, and notice the sensations in your body. Smile. So, it's pretty key there, that practice of really being honest with our fears. And right now in the world, there are so many very valid fears, fears for our health, fear for our tribe, our family, our friends, our elders, our frontliners in the medical system, fear for those with compromised immune systems, financial fear, feeling fear of insecurity, livelihood, and so forth. There's a lot of fears right now. And in the collective energy that is thick, it's a lot. And it's easy just to get caught up in it and to panic. So again, that's what's going on a lot right now. And it takes loving discipline to both be compassionate with that truth, with that happening in the collective right now, at the same time, step up with a kind of warrior type strength and a tender, soft vulnerability. So again, like Ram Dass was pointing to in that practice, if we're feeling fearful, anxious, worried, allow ourselves to feel that, feel the tension, and in a way, exacerbate it for a moment. Clench your fists, feel your torso tight, feel your shoulders tight, maybe even your jaw for a few minutes. Really get into it, feel it. If you need to yell, and it's the opportunity to do so, do it. If you need to punch something, don't take it out on those close to, don't take it out on anyone. Take it out on something. Go into a room, punch a pillow. Go into a forest. If you're locked up in a small room or a small apartment, punch a pillow. Punch a boxing bag. Take out that tension into something. Or you can practice a breath work technique. You can do breath of fire. Let's do that now. So bring to attention anything you are fearful of, uptight about, and feel the tension. Clench your fists, clench your belly, clench your butt, clench your jaw. And now it's like you're releasing a valve, or another metaphor. It's like you're like a dry needling session or an acupuncturist or a good body worker, how they get into that knot of tension by paying attention to the tension and putting your breath into it. You can, similar to that acupuncture needle, you can penetrate it and let the buildup of energy release. You really can. The girls are right there. Hey. But it takes a deep focused attention. Okay. So the breath of fire we're about to do, you can penetrate that tension. So close your eyes, get still. Let's do it together. Keep going. Please keep going. As you do it, please bring your attention to your lower belly. Notice your lower belly pumping in and out, and your pelvic floor. Bring your attention to the base of your body and your pelvic floor. As you breathe like this, it's naturally lifting up and down. Sensitized to that feeling. It's very grounding. It's getting us out of our head and into our body. Go a few more for now, but if you're really feeling like you could keep going to get that released, keep going. And now hold out a breath for a couple of seconds, hold the breath out. And then a huge breath in and hold the breath in. Hold it in. And now as you breathe out, anything you're worried about, tense about, you're not dismissing the reason. You're just allowing the tension to release. So you breathe out, you let the mind clear, you let the tension release. So I just want to really distinguish, we're not trying to ignore the stressor. Stressors are inevitable. It's part of the human experience. It's part of the earthly experience. We are working on expanding our awareness. So as we breathe in, we're allowing our awareness to expand. Quite literally, we're allowing our heart to open. And that allows for a deeper clarity, a more flowing state of wisdom. And it's revitalizing, plain and simple. As you breathe like we are, you shift from where many of us would be right now in the sympathetic nervous system, that kind of fight or flight or freeze, that stressed reaction to the parasympathetic nervous system, that relaxed and calm, grounded and present state. But it's through our breathing that we're able to soothe the nervous system, penetrate the tension, and clear the way for a more equanimous state. So this equanimity is available, actually. It is available, but through paying attention like we are now and through the breathing, it's like we're clearing away the static, shaking off the dust. Now, what we were reading in the initial readout in Ram Dass's book and Mirabai Bush's book, this identification to our somebodyness. Now, right now in our current times, a lot of people are losing their jobs. The wages or weekly payments that we were reliant on maybe has become less reliable, maybe non-existent now. Now, of course, that is stressful. We got bills to pay. That's a valid stress. Natural reaction is to tense, and it's like a downward spiral, tension upon tension upon tension. It's a tough one, but we can expand our awareness through that, even when we got bills to pay and the money is not coming in. I know there's not much valid reason to get the relief and the release, but it'll only help us. It'll only assist us. In terms of the ego identification, identify in our culture, most of us are identified with our job, our money, our accomplishments, our ambitions, etc., etc. And right now, you might be in quarantine, in social isolation, and all of that is gone. On one level, that is shit. On one level, it sucks, and it is stressful. But a lot of us are going through that. So we're all in that together. This is a potent opportunity to inquire earnestly, deeply, maybe even, if possible, joyfully, inquire, who am I? So you might want to add to that practice, who am I? And then you go through nete nete, in which you temporarily disidentify with the forms of your egoic identity. So nete nete, I'm not my. Start with maybe your job. I'm not my job. Maybe that's the practice in itself. Deep breaths, loosening that identification with job. Next, what else do you heavily identify with? I'm not my money. I'm not my money. It's a big one. It's a big one. But when we really loosen that identification, it can be revealed how little we actually need. One of the first awakening experiences of my life that was really tangible, that was really undeniable, was my first trip to Bali. And just seeing these beautiful families, you know, a whole family of 7, 8, 9, 10 people living in one room. That's their house. And they were so happy. I could feel a joy. I could feel a communing. I could feel a radiance that I hadn't really seen in our privileged big houses and multiple cars and, you know, the whole thing. We don't need that much. And a lot of us have had privileged lives where we've been spoiled. We've been spoiled, and we've, hate to ruffle your feathers, but a lot of us have become soft. Soft in the more negative way, like entitled and whingy. And I mean, not even in your typical kind of image of that. I know very like strong blokey blokes that are very like soft, very whingy. You know, they're complaining that they can't get to the pub right now, that kind of thing. So this is a great opportunity for us to get very strong, very adaptable and fluid, courageous, compassionate, connected, and ultimately loving. Often in these really shitty situations where we are deeply challenged, we get forced to wake up. And I know we're hearing this a lot right now. I am anyway. And it pisses some people off because there is a lot of stress in the world. A lot of people are dying at an unprecedented rate in very, like medical professionals, just they can't really get a hold of what's actually going on. They still haven't really come to grips with how to take care of this pandemic. And frontliners are getting overwhelmed. The hospitals are still getting overwhelmed. And I know there's a lot to bring concern to and reverence to. So for me, it's a balance of both not denying the collective stress that's going on in the world and not just focusing on the beauty that is unfolding, which is, but it's both. It's the middle way for me right now. So as I create spaciousness in my awareness and allow these practices to loosen the grip that my attention has on my egoic identity and these constructs of the forms of my identity, I can more easily relax into a deeper, you could say more mystical, the blessings in disguise, we could say. So keep following your breath. Keep reading inspiring books. I'm happy to give you a whole list of books that I keep rereading. Sacred scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita are perfect right now. Yogis and yoginis, if you have not read the Bhagavad Gita, translations of the Bhagavad Gita, do it. Do it now. Read it a few times. Read it like 4 or 5 times. It is really outlaying what we're faced with right now, in a way, this kind of inner battlefield. And how do we face it? We've got this awesome opportunity to really step up, open up, help each other out. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. I don't know if you are, but I am, and it's beautiful. And again, giving love and respect and blessings to everyone and to anyone really struggling through these times. Feeling you, thinking of you, feel free to connect with me, comment, email, message, and let's keep the conversations going. Again, this book called Walking Each Other Home. That's what we're doing. We're all walking each other home. Let's just sit for a little bit longer now in a quietness, in a support, this mysterious connection that we've all got through the internet as we're in isolation. Let's connect. Close your eyes. Another few breaths of just breathing in as deep as you can, holding the breath in and allowing for your heart to open. And then as you breathe out, grounding, releasing, quietening. Much love, everyone. I invite you to continue this awareness out into your day. What I've been doing as we've been in quarantine, and when Lani gets restless, I'll put her in the pram or I'll strap her on and I'll just do little circles of walking around, laps of stepping with gratitude. Stepping with gratitude, stepping with appreciation, and training my mind, witnessing my mind when it gets caught up in panic, worry, negative thought patterns. And again, not suppressing, not denying, but penetrating it with these practices. And then coming back to gratitude, back to bhakti, back to devotion. And that creates a ripple effect into the family, into life. It really does. Where we put our attention, energy flows. I've also been walking around with mala beads and just going through a mantra. And I vary the mantra. Sometimes it's just Ram, 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 Ram. Maybe you've got your own little mantra to repeat to keep your mind focused on the bigger picture, focused on the present moment, focused on maybe some intention. You have totally got agency on what you do with your attention. Have a beautiful day and we'll connect soon. Ram, Ram.